Thank you for taking the time to watch this message. My name is Ronnie Rothy. I'm the lead pastor at Relevant Community Church. At Relevant, our goal is to make faith practical in order to help you be more transformed into everything God's created you to be. It's our hope that something from this message inspires and empowers you to take a next step to follow Jesus. Thanks again for joining us, and I hope you enjoy this message. Well, after not preaching the last 6 weeks, I'm excited to be up here preaching today. And before we get going here, I do just want to take a moment to just thank our elders who each preached a week over this last series we just did called Words of Wisdom. And I really hope that you were encouraged by them, that you were challenged by them as they prayed hard and worked hard and put a ton of time and effort into seeking God on what each of them really felt like bringing a sermon that was going to be impactful and helpful for our church. And listen, preaching on Sundays, it's no small task. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of prayer. It's a lot of energy. It's a lot of effort. I know because I do it every single week. But they did a great job, and they put in a hard work. So before we move on, can we just give a huge round of applause, appreciation to our elders for doing that? Yeah. September 13th, 2009, a ragtag small group of us launched Relevant Community Church with the mission to help transform people into everything God created us to be. Now, leading up to September 13th, 2009, we didn't know how we were going to start, who we'd start with, where we'd meet, how we'd pay for anything, what we were really doing, or if it would even work. All we knew was that God was leading, and so we followed him, trusting he would do what only he could do. Well, obviously, it ended up working out. And going into 2020, we had just celebrated 10 years as a church. And over our first 10 years of existence, we witnessed God do some amazing things. We saw hundreds of people put their faith in Jesus by asking him to be the forgiver of their sins and leader of their lives and having their eternities transformed. We saw God transform thousands of people's lives. We saw God use us to impact our community. We saw God provide the finances for us to be able to purchase land and build the Relevant Center on after meeting at Indian Creek Golf Course for our first 9 years. We saw so many of the visions that God gave us when we first started Relevant come to fruition. But we knew he wasn't done. We knew he was just getting started. We knew God's transforming work in us and through us was unfinished. So we started to ask God what his vision was for our church over the next 10 years. And at the start of 2020, as we were praying about that, the phrase that kept coming to our minds and hearts was the phrase, cast the nets. And this phrase, cast the nets, is actually inspired from something that Jesus said that's recorded in Luke chapter 5. And what takes place in Luke 5 is actually toward the beginning of Jesus' 3-year public ministry before he recruited his team of 12 disciples. However, at this point, Jesus is already starting to gain a lot of popularity. Well, one morning, a large crowd gathered around him on the shore of a lake to hear him preach. And then nearby, there's a few fishermen who are listening to him as they're cleaning their nets after a long and disappointing night of fishing. And one of those fishermen was Peter. Now, Peter became one of Jesus' 12 disciples, one of Jesus' closest friends, but at this point, they hadn't personally met yet. So after Jesus finished preaching, he looked over to these fishermen, and he directed his attention to Peter and his fellow fishermen. Verse 4, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, which is short for Simon Peter, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Now, you got to remember, at this point in time, Peter is not a follower of Jesus. At this point in time, Peter is not a disciple of Jesus. He's a fisherman. And as a fisherman, Peter had been doing what fishermen were supposed to do and fishing at night when they're supposed to fish, and he caught nothing. And he had just finished cleaning the nets, and he's ready to go home and take a well-needed nap. So when Jesus, a non-fisherman, asked Peter, a fisherman, to go fishing during the day, it seemed like a stupid request. But what Peter didn't realize was that Jesus wasn't giving him fishing advice, but he was extending an invitation to him. An invitation to take one small next step and follow him. An invitation to grow Peter's trust in him. An invitation into something far greater than just fish. Well, Simon answered, "Master," which is kind of a respectful way to say, hey, like Jedi rabbi guy. "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything." Jesus goes, "Hey, Peter, go fishing when you're not supposed to go fishing. Go fishing my way." And Peter's like, "Hey, Jesus, your sermon was real good, but you're a carpenter. Like, you're a Jewish rabbi who doesn't know anything about fishing. And I don't know if you noticed this, Jesus, but you've attracted quite the crowd here. And when they see me going fishing in the middle of the day, they're going to think I'm crazy." And Jesus is going, "Listen, Peter, I know this is ridiculous. It sounds ridiculous. But come on, what do you got to lose? I'm inviting you to trust me enough to take one small next step. And Peter, if you do, you may see there's more to me than you think there is." Now, in that moment, Peter had no idea what was at stake. I mean, you got to remember, at that moment, Peter did not believe Jesus was the Son of God. He did not believe Jesus was the Messiah and the Savior, which is why what Peter said next is so important for you and for me and for how our faith and our trust and our confidence and our relationship with Jesus grows. Peter said, "But because you say so." Not because it makes sense. Not because I believe I'm going to catch anything. Not because I want to. But because I've listened to you long enough, Jesus, to think that maybe there's more to you that I don't know. Because you say so, I'm going to trust you with this one small little thing, and I will let down the nets. And it is crazy to think about what hung in the balance for Peter in that moment. I mean, we know Peter today as the guy who was one of Jesus' 12 disciples, who was first to who walked on the water with Jesus, who was first to believe and confess that Jesus was the Messiah, who became one of Jesus' closest friends, who gave a sermon that 3,000 people put their faith in Jesus through and that launched the first church in Jerusalem, who God did miraculous signs through, who led the first church in Jerusalem, and who wrote a few books of our New Testament. And the only reason Peter experienced any of that, the only reason we know who Peter is today, the only reason Peter was transformed into being who we know him as, is because in this moment, Peter decided, "All right, Jesus, I'm going to trust you by taking this one small next step." And if Peter had said no, he would have just become another nameless, forgotten first century Jewish fisherman whose life counted for not much. Now, I'm going to come back to this in just a little bit here, but for some of you, this is exactly where you are today. Through his Spirit, Jesus has been and is inviting and is prompting and is stirring you to take a next step to follow him. And like Peter, you have no idea what hangs in the balance for you, for your transformation, for your faith, for your relationship with Jesus, for them, for our church, for God's glory. Verse 6, when they had done so, not when they had believed so, not when they had thought so, not when they had intended so, not when they had prayed so, and not when they had read so, but when they had done so, because following Jesus by doing what he is inviting you to do is what makes all the difference. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come help them, and they came and filled boats so full they began to sink. And listen, don't miss this. Only after they had taken the next step that Jesus invited them to take, did they experience the power of Jesus. Not before it. Only after it. Well, when Simon Peter saw this, and what we expect him to do is celebrate the catch, like, "Woohoo, look at all this fish. I don't got to work for 4 months." But Peter reacted very differently than that, because in that moment, it was no longer about fish, and in that moment, it was no longer about fishing. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, not rabbi master guy. Go away from me. Lord, for I am a sinful man. I mean, Peter had been face to face with the Savior, the Son of God, the Messiah, for hours. But it wasn't until that moment his eyes and ears were open and he recognized, I'm in the presence of the Lord. For the first time in that moment, Peter recognized that Jesus was more than just a Jewish rabbi. Peter recognized Jesus was Lord. And because of that, Peter for the first time saw who he really was too. And this was the beginning of Peter's life-transforming relationship with Jesus. But it didn't happen until he took a small next step to do what Jesus invited him to do. And now, Peter was ready for Jesus to say, follow me. Verse 9, for he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid, for now on you will fish for people. This is as if Jesus is saying, I have a greater purpose for you, but you wouldn't be ready to follow me into it until you were willing to trust me enough by taking a small next step. Listen, Peter, I've come on a mission. I've come on a mission to usher in God's kingdom, to seek and save lost sinners like you, Peter, and I'm inviting you to join me. I'm inviting you to follow me into a greater purpose and a greater mission. Instead of casting your nets into the water to catch fish, I'm inviting you to cast your nets and fish for people. And Peter, and James, John, and Andrew are going, we have no idea what that means, but yeah, we're all in on that. So they pulled their boats up on shore. They left everything, their livelihood, their security, their plans, and they followed him. And what Jesus ended up doing in them and through them changed the world. And now, Jesus has called his followers, his church, to do the same, to leave everything, and follow him into his mission of catching people, into his mission of reaching people who don't know him, into his mission of helping inspire and empower people to follow him, into his mission of ushering in God's kingdom, into his mission of transforming people into everything God created us to be. And that's our mission as a church. It always has been. But at the start of 2020, this passage in Luke 5 inspired us to make the phrase, cast the nets, the theme, the war cry, the mantra, the vision of our church over the next 10 years through 2030. And we felt like there's four specific ways that we, that Relevant Community Church, we're going to focus on casting the nets. First, by being relentless about reaching people for Jesus. By being relentless about doing whatever it takes to reach people who don't know Jesus, because this is the mission that Jesus came for. Jesus himself said the entire reason that God sent him was to seek and to save those who were lost, those who have a broken relationship with Holy Creator God because of their violation of sin against him. And that's you and 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 me and every single one of us. Jesus was clear that our Heavenly Father sent him on a mission to save us from the penalty of our violation of sin against him, to forgive us, to restore and redeem and reconcile our broken relationship with him in this life and in the next, to offer us eternal life and to transform us now into everything God's created us to be. That's what Jesus gave his life on the cross for, and that's what Jesus rose from the grave to do and prove that only he can do. And right before he physically left this earth, he called us, his church, to be his body and carry on his mission until he returns again. We're focused on casting the net, secondly, by being fanatics about impacting the next generation for Jesus. By being fanatics about reaching kids and students for Jesus, inspiring and empowering them to follow Jesus so that they're transformed into everything God's created them to be by Jesus. We're fanatics about casting the nets in this way because the faith of the next generation is worth everything. The faith of the next generation is worth whatever it may cost us. Third, we're focused on casting the nets through practical biblical teaching because, as we just saw in Luke 5 with Peter, transformation happens by doing. Transformation happens by following Jesus one next step at a time. And that can't happen and won't happen without practical biblical teaching, because you can't and you won't follow Jesus if you don't know how to practically do that in the real world, in your home and in your family and in hurting relationships and when you're struggling and when that person hurts you and at work and in your neighborhood and when you're struggling. See, we're called Relevant Community Church for a reason. We're called Relevant Community Church because we make faith practical. Finally, we're focused on casting the nets by producing, equipping, and sending influential kingdom leaders. We're focused on casting the nets in this way because you know this, everything rises and falls on leadership. We're focused on casting the nets in this way because we believe Jesus is the hope of the world, the local church is his agents of hope, and great leaders are the hope of the church. Now, these are how we're focused on casting the nets. And this is what we've been running hard after toward the last 5 years and what we're going to keep pursuing hard after through 2030. Well, at the start of 2020, we also prayed and dreamed about what God wanted to do in and through Relevant over the next 10 years as we follow Jesus in casting the nets. And one by one, God began to put some huge transformational kingdom of God building, God glorifying visions on our hearts. And throughout that process, we identified 10 primary cast the net visions that we felt called to pursue by 2030. When you walked in, you should have got one of these. On it is these 10 primary cast the net visions. If you're watching online or if you want to look at this online, they'll be on the sermon page of our website afterwards. But if you're watching online right now on YouTube or Facebook in the comments chat section, the moderators are going to put a link there. You can click on that. Listen, I'm here. I don't watch it online. I'm not sure how it works, okay? But you who are watching online, you know how it works. So you do you. Now, as you look at these, you can see all 10 of these visions, they're God-sized visions. All 10, honestly, they seem unachievable to me. But what if? Like, what if we actually saw this happen? What if the nets broke in this way? If these actually happened, we would look back and know that without a doubt God moved. We would have experienced his unmistakable, undeniable power and presence in our lives, in our church, and in our midst. And I got to be really honest with you. When I first communicated these cast the net visions at the start of 2020, I had some fear and I had some doubt because these are big, bold visions that I knew none were possible without God doing what only God can do. But I also had so much hope and so much faith and so much excitement for what I believed God was going to do. What I didn't know at that time, at the start of 2020, was that 3 months later, COVID would hit. And what I definitely didn't know was that in 2024, a tornado would tear through our community. Now, both of those tragic events initially took the wind out of our sails. But they did not take the wind out of God's sails. He was not surprised by them. He knew both would happen when he put these visions on our hearts at the start of 2020. And he used them to actually advance our cast the net visions in ways I don't think would have happened without them. Well, now we're halfway to 2030. And I wanted to give you an update on a few, not all of them, but just a few of these cast the net visions because God's been working and God's been moving and we need to recognize that and praise him for it. So let me just give you an update on where we are with a few of these visions. One of our cast the net visions is that by 2030, every student in our community has heard the gospel of Jesus. See, this vision was put on our hearts in 2020 because of the number 93%. 93% of every single person who ends up putting their faith in Jesus does so before the age of 18. It's crazy. And one of the ways we're fanatics about pursuing this vision is by investing heavily in our kids and student ministries and creating irresistible environments that inspires and empowers kids and students to follow Jesus. And this is pretty cool. Currently, we're reaching and we're investing in 1,120 kids and students every week through our four next-gen ministries, Sprouts, Relevant Kids, Rooted, and Youth United. The really cool thing is that's a 141% increase from the start of 2020. It's awesome. Another way we're pursuing hard after this vision is through our Elkhorn School adoption. When we adopt an Elkhorn Public School, we strategically work to invest in the administrators, the teachers, the students, the facilities. And one of the visions we established that you don't see this on the sheet, but one of the visions that we established in 2020 is to adopt every Elkhorn Public School by 2030. Well, there's 22 Elkhorn Public Schools. As of today, we have adopted 15 Elkhorn Public Schools and are intentionally investing in them. And it started 2020, we had zero. So it's pretty good. Now, I believe the most important Castanet vision that God put on our hearts at the start of 2020 is that by 2030, 5,000 people have put their faith in Jesus, asking him to be the forgiver of their sins and leader of their life, and have been baptized to proclaim their faith in Jesus. Now, you got to know the magnitude of this vision. The magnitude is this. In our first 10 years of existence, from 2009 to 2019, I mean, it's cool, but 722 people put their faith in Jesus, and we baptized 327 people in 10 years. 722 faith commitments, 327 put their faith in Jesus in a 10-year span. So this is a God-sized vision. Well, this is so cool. Since the start of 2020, 1,152 people have put their faith in Jesus and asking him to be the forgiver of their sins and leader of their life. It's awesome. Kind of the cool thing, 211 of those were last year in 2024, and we've already had more commitments of faith this year in 2025, and we're only in August, so I'm really excited about what God's doing. Furthermore, since the start of 2020, 440 people have been baptized to publicly proclaim their faith in Jesus, which is just absolutely amazing. You guys, I look at this vision right here, this seems impossible to achieve. But let me tell you what we're going to do. We're going to continue to be relentless about just simply reaching one more person for Jesus. We're not trying to reach the masses. At Relevant, we're just trying to reach one more. And we're going to continue to be relentless to reach one more. Because that's all we can do. And honestly, God's got to do the rest. Another God-sized Castanet vision is that 4,000 people are engaged in a healthy and transformational relevant small group in 2030. Now, what we mean by small groups for our next-gen ministries, these are our Sprouts, Relevant Kids, Rooted, and Youth United small groups. For college students and adults, these are our T-Life groups. And listen, this vision, this is such an important vision because of what we strongly believe here at Relevant and talk about all the time, and that is that transformation doesn't happen in isolation. Well, currently, 1,803 people from Relevant are connected in a small group. 982 of those are kids and students. And guys, that's 1,000 more people than at the start of 2020. But the numbers are cool, but here's the real question. Are all our small groups what we would consider healthy and transformational? Are all of our T-Life groups healthy and transformational smaller communities of people? The answer is no, they are not. So we are working tirelessly to ensure that's what happens, because I don't care about the number. I care that every single one of our groups are healthy and transformational smaller communities of people, and we all have a huge part to play in that, and our transformation as a church and individually is so dependent upon that happening. An extremely important Castanet vision God put on our hearts is in 2020 is to be a front runner in producing young leaders because of what I said earlier, that Jesus is the hope of the world, the local church is the agent of hope, and great leaders are the hope of the church, which is why we're focused on casting the nets by producing, equipping, and sending influential kingdom of God leaders. Listen, if that's actually going to happen, it has to start with our young people. Not our old people, it's got to start with our young people. Our vision is to be a church that's a front runner in producing young, influential, kingdom of God leaders. And there's a few ways we're focused on doing that. The first is through our Rooted and Youth United student leadership programs. Since the start of 2020, 276 middle school and high school students have gone through our student leadership programs. Another way that we're focused on this is through our serve down culture. See, we believe middle school and high school students actually doing ministry and actually leading is how they are best produced to be influential kingdom leaders. So we try to engage as many middle school and high school students to serve down as leaders in the next gen ministry that is younger than them as absolutely possible. And currently there are 143 middle school and high school students serving down in Sprouts, Relevant Kids, and Rooted. And you got a really cool thing. I mean, I'm looking down here in the front row. I'll just do the high schoolers who are over here because I can see it. You can't see it. All of you who are wearing the blue Relevant Kids shirts, which means you just served in First Gathering of Relevant Kids leading a small group, go ahead and stand up so everyone can see you guys. There you go. Proud of you guys. Good job. Good job. You guys are leading our mission forward. Listen, an additional way that we produce young leaders is through our Leadership Development Program, or LDP for short. The LDP is Relevance College Internship Program to produce and equip college-age people with the leadership skills and principles to be influential kingdom leaders within the local church. LDPs, that's what we call them, LDPs are unpaid staff, and they play a huge role in helping lead our four next-gen ministries. Since the start of 2020, 14 college-age students have gone through our leadership development program. A huge cast the net vision that God put on our hearts in 2020 is to help start 10 churches by 2030. I mean, at Relevant, we believe the world is transformed for Jesus one local community at a time, and that starting new churches and new communities is how people are reached for Jesus and transformed by Jesus. Well, since the start of 2020, we have helped start three churches through our church multiplication ministry: the Grove Church in Perth, Australia; Shepherd Church in Indianapolis, Indiana, which officially launches next Sunday; and Citizen Church in Houston, Texas, which officially launches next month. And we've helped start one partner church on the Thai-Burma border that is reaching hundreds of Korean refugees for Jesus every single week. The final cast the net vision that I want to update you on today, that if you've been a part of Relevant for any period of time, you've heard me talk about at some point in time, and that is that by 2030, all aspects and phases of the Relevant Center are complete and we are debt-free. Now, this is nothing short of what can only be described as a God-sized vision. This is one of our cast the net visions because the Relevant Center is the most expensive tool we have and the most powerful tool we have to grow the ministries of Relevant, to impact our community, and to help us reach more people for Jesus. And we want to maximize this tool to its fullest capacity, but we haven't maximized it to its fullest capacity. The Relevant Center is unfinished. The current structure that we are sitting in right now was our initial phase. Well, at the start of 2020, I had no idea how we'd remotely get close to this vision coming to fruition. I mean, at that time, we had $7 million of debt from building the Relevant Center as it sits, which, by the way, this is pretty cool. We've reduced that by $3 million since then. Furthermore, we didn't have a clear picture for what the Relevant Center being complete even meant. So, for the better part of the next 3 years, the elders and leadership team worked hard to determine the needs and focuses of the Relevant Center's future expansion, and we spent an enormous amount of time and energy doing site massing and cost projections and needs assessments. And after all that was complete, the elders determined the Relevant Center's expansion will be done in three phases. Phase one, includes a new Sprouts ministry area, Relevant Kids ministry area, K through second grade, meeting rooms, larger office, more storage, additional parking. Phase two would include a gymnasium. Phase three would be a larger auditorium and some additional parking because, as you know, you can't park them, you can't reach them. Now, here's the finished Relevant Center, what the finished Relevant Center would conceptually look like. Some of you have seen this before with all three phases being complete. But once again, you guys, all aspects and phases of the Relevant Center being complete and being debt-free by 2030 is nothing short of a God-sized vision. I mean, there are some massive, massive obstacles standing in the way of making that even, making it even seem possible. It seems impossible, but I know with our God that nothing is impossible. Now, in order for this cast the net vision for the Relevant Center to come from being a dream to the potential of reality and to take steps towards seeing all our cast the net visions come to fruition, in the fall, we launched a two-year generosity called Unfinished. And part of the financial goal through Unfinished is to complete phase one. Well, God moved through Unfinished, and because of your generosity, construction for phase one of the Relevant Center expansion is currently underway, as you can see outside. And now our goal is that we have completed new construction of phase one of the Relevant Center expansion, and we're able to use it by June 1st of next year, June 1st, 2026. And we might hit that goal if God stops sending 4 inches of rain every Tuesday. It's jacking things up outside, Lord. Hey, if you haven't seen the renderings, Relevant Center expansion renderings of phase one, we got those all set up in the foyer today. Go look at them. They're really cool. Also, if this is your first time hearing about Unfinished and you're not really sure what that is, and you're like, I'd like to kind of be caught up on it and maybe even jump in, you can pick up one of these unfinished booklets at the next steps area on your way out, or you can just text the word unfinished to 55444. We'll send you a link to our website, and you can see everything in this booklet also on our website. Since the start of 2020, we've been focused on casting the nets, and God has done some amazing things, but his transforming work is unfinished. Listen, even if half of these cast the net visions came to fruition, we will have been part of something that can only be attributed to God himself. And come on, that's what we all want. None of us wants to be part of a dead church. We all want to be part of a mission bigger than ourselves, and we all want to be, you know, see God move. We all want to live with purpose that, you know, that means something and makes a difference. We want to, all want our lives to count for something. We all want to be more transformed to everything God's created us to be. We all want to be part of a healthy, transformational, God-glorifying church that experiences God's presence and power. We all want to be part of helping transform people's lives and helping transform our community. We all want to leave a legacy that outlives ourselves. We all want to, like Peter, be astonished at what only Jesus can do. We all want to experience the net breaking and boats sinking because there's so many fish. We all want to see God do immeasurably more than all we can ask and all we can imagine. And it can happen. It can happen, but not by accident. As we go into the second half of Cast the Nets, here's what I want you to know. God's vision comes to fruition through you and me together. You and me together is how God's vision comes to fruition. God wants the 2030 casting net visions that he laid on our hearts in 2020 to come to fruition, and they can. But like Peter, it will require all of us taking the next steps that Jesus is inviting us to take into the deep water and casting the nets. So here's the question I encourage you to wrestle with as we head into the second half of Cast the Nets. What next step is Jesus inviting me to take to follow him and cast the nets? For the rest of the year, starting next week, I'm going to be preaching four important series. Four series that, depending on what you and I choose to do with them, will impact God's transforming work being carried on to completion in our church and through our church, and most importantly, in you. So my challenge, my ask, my invitation to you through all these sermons is to ask this question: what next step is Jesus inviting me to take to follow him and cast the nets? And I can guarantee Jesus is going to be inviting you to take a next step to follow him. He's going to invite you to, like Peter, put into the deep water and cast the net. And just like Peter, you have no idea what hangs in the balance of Jesus' invitations. You have no idea what hangs in the balance for you, for your transformation, for your faith, for your relationship with Jesus, for them, for our church, or for God's glory. But let's not wait until next Sunday just to ask this question. Let me ask you today, what next step is Jesus inviting you to take to follow him and cast the net today? Today. Because he's inviting you in some way. For some of you, it might be something simple like start serving on a team or connecting a T-Life group or engage in volunteer staff. For others, it might be something that will require you to trust him a lot, to give generously, to forgive them, to break up with them, to start a spiritual conversation with one of your reach ones, to give up control. And for some of you, it's to finally surrender your life to Jesus by putting your faith in Jesus, asking him to be the forgiver of your sin and the leader, the Lord of your life. We're going to close by Misty and Justin singing a song called Follow. And as you sit there, I want to encourage you to pray and ask God, what next step is Jesus inviting me to take to follow him and cast the nets? And if during this time you feel that internal prompting, that stirring, that nudging, that sense of ought to, I believe that's Jesus inviting you to follow me. So go cast the nets. And during this time, as they sing this song, for those of you who've never put your faith in Jesus, you feel a prompting to do that, and you feel ready to do that, when I pray at the end of it, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that this morning.
I give my life to follow Jesus. Captive to Christ, I know true freedom. I count it all joy to take up my cross. I'll follow. These earthly wells have left me thirsty. All worldly wisdom comes up empty. Only your word, only your ways I'll follow. What a joy it is to follow Jesus. What a gift it is to bear His name. What an honor to choose surrender and make Him my everything. What a joy it is to follow Jesus. What a my everything. Yes to surrender, yes to the altar, yes to your plans for me. Yes to correction, yes to confession, yes to refining me. Yes to your blessing, yes to anointing, your Spirit. To salvation, yes to resurrection, yes to eternity. What a joy it is to follow Jesus. What a gift it is to bear His name. What an honor to choose and make Him my everything, and make You my everything. Lord, You are my everything. So I give my life to follow Jesus. Captive to Christ, I know true freedom. I count it all joy. I take up my cross. I follow.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just want to praise You and thank You for what You've done in us as a church, through us as a church. I'm just blown away that You have chosen to work in the way You've chosen to work through this small group of people who are so messed up. Lord, we are so messed up, and we are
but we just want to follow you. And so, Lord, thank you for using us for your kingdom and glory. Thank you for showing us that you are such an awesome, powerful God, and through it, people are turning to you. Lord, I pray, Jesus, in the coming minutes, days, weeks, months, years, as we continue just to be focused on casting the nets together, that we choose to follow you, whatever next step you're inviting us to take, however crazy or ridiculous it seems, individually or together, we choose to go into the deep and cast the nets. We choose to follow. We don't choose to be believers in Jesus. We choose to be followers of Jesus. And Lord, for every person who's never put their faith in you, Jesus, who just feels a prompting and a stirring that they're ready to do that today, I pray that right now where they're at, in this room, at home, just quietly, they pray to put their faith in you. That right now they just confess their need for a Savior because their violation of sin against you that broke their relationship with you. Right now they declare, Jesus, they believe you are the Savior, that they're their Savior. Your death and resurrection was sufficient for the payment of their sins, the penalty of their sins, the forgiveness of their sins, for their salvation. Right now I pray they ask for you to be their Savior. That right now at this moment they put their faith in you, asking you to be the forgiver of their sin. And they proclaim they want to follow you as Lord, as the leader of their life. In Jesus' name, amen.
If today you prayed to put your faith in Jesus by asking him to be the forgiver of your sins and the leader of your life, today is a really special day. And we'd love to celebrate with you by giving you one of these relevant Bibles. All you have to do is text the word Jesus to 55444, and we'll get one of these Bibles to you in the mail, along with some information to help you take your best next step in following Jesus. Also, we believe that life happens best in community. If you live in Elkhorn or the Omaha area and you're not part of a church, we'd love to have you join us for one of our Sunday gatherings. You can find out more about Relevant and what to expect by visiting our website at relevantcommunity.org. Thanks again for spending part of your day with us, and we hope to connect with you soon.